Coaching session 17. We're about 90 days or so into the process, and so far I have purposefully done some scatter shooting, you know, throwing out a few hot topics to provoke your thought. It's been designed to make you think, mainly to make you consider some alternatives to how you've always done things and how you have always looked at things. Today, this is a completely selfish session. No, not about me. It's all about you. Now, of course, you have been the focal point of every session all along. It's always about you because, well, you're a leader and leaders influence other people. And even when we've talked about your interaction with others, it still has been about you and how you can improve to become a more effective executive. If it is to be, it's up to me. You've likely heard that phrase for a long time. And if not, I'm betting you'll never forget it now that you have read it or heard me say it. If it is to be, it's up to me. I mean, it's got a nice ring to it. And we can all relate to it. I mean, in that very simple sentence is a wealth of wisdom and truth. If it is to be, it's up to me. It's about your responsibility to make it happen, whatever it may be. It's about individual accountability. It's about your refusal to be a victim. The self-help field, or what is now affectionately known as personal development, is about $100 billion market in the United States alone. Now, of course, about $60 billion of that is in the weight loss sector. The industry revenues dropped during the last financial crunch. Understandably, I guess, because people didn't have much money. I'm fairly confident that it's going to rebound, though, because we're all interested in our favorite topic, me. Well, I'm interested in you as well. And sure, it's my occupation to be interested in you, but I'm just like you. I've got a choice in what I want to do. You're not the only one getting something from all this. I get something too. And it's not just a paycheck. There's something, well, frankly, there's something more high value that's a payoff for me. Satisfaction, sense of accomplishment, knowing that I'm making a difference, knowing that I'm making an impact. Seeing the light bulb illuminate when a client gains some new insights. I mean, there are tons of benefits for me, but this isn't about me. It's about you. All across the internet, we hear some key words and phrases, three in particular that I want to kind of focus on. And they are, one, be transparent. Number two, be authentic. Number three, follow your passion. Now, to some, it all sounds terribly selfish, and to others, it sounds too idealistic. And I'm likely going to surprise you by telling you that I think it's all valid. Okay, that last one, follow your passion, I mean, sometimes that drives me crazy, but I will explain here in a bit why I think that that's even valid. Be transparent. The web advice is for us to be transparent in front of others. Well, now that's entirely up to you. I'm urging you to be transparent with yourself. And that's easier said than done for most people. We both know that you're somebody at work, and oftentimes you're somebody very different when you're away from work. And that doesn't mean that you're schizophrenic. It just means that you have these masks that you wear. And you decide which mask is right for which occasion. It's the acting that we all do. And it's a necessary component if we're going to succeed. We know people who they can't properly put the mask on. And in some cases, they're socially awkward. In other cases, they're so flamboyant and outrageous. Yeah, we've got to do a bit of acting. Now, unfortunately, we can get lost in the process and forget who we are. Be authentic. Authenticity is a little bit different than transparency. It's being true to yourself. When we're acting, okay, well, maybe we're being true to ourselves and who we really are in one instance and maybe not in another. This is closely tied to transparency in that it gets to the heart of who we really are. It's facing the realities of our personality, our work ethic, our beliefs, our communication style, our convictions, our hopes, our dreams, our desires, our loves, and our hates. It's the core of who we really are. Follow your passion. Now, I could hop up into a pulpit and I could wax on for a long time about why I hate this advice, but I will spare you. Instead, I'll sum it up by telling you why I think it's valid advice. You will suffer defeat. Failure will frequent your life. It likely already has. And when you're down and out, you're going to lean on how interested you are to push through. Pardon a personal illustration, but it's one of my lifelong failures. For as long as I can remember, I wanted to learn to play the guitar. I've even owned guitars for over 40 years, and I'm talking nice guitars, all acoustic guitars. There's one sitting in a hard shell case right now inside my closet. I just think they're cool, and I think they're awesome, and I've even read books for years and years on guitars. I know model numbers, and I know other weird stuff about guitars. I mean, I know stuff that non-guitarists don't have any business knowing, but I've never learned to play. Now, I obviously don't have a passion for playing the guitar, else I'd learn how. I mean, it hurts your fingers. You got to stick with it for a few months so that you can develop calluses that make it easier to fret or to push the strings down. Okay, well, I've never even stuck with it long enough to develop the calluses. I always gave up before I ever got there. The best guitar players are and were relentless in learning the instrument. They didn't quit because they had a passion that I clearly lacked. And that lack of passion, it's that lack of passion that kept me from pushing on. It'll drive you to push through the adversity so that you will stick with it if you have the passion. Your inner voice, your intuition, your connectivity to yourself. Okay, they all refer to the same thing. It's how you feel about yourself. It's who you are and why you are the way you are. As an executive, it's easy for us to think that we are what we do. Okay, insert your title right here. I don't know what your title is. You could be CEO, you could be president, you could be vice president, you could be director. You could be any number of titles that executives wear. I'm betting that you think that's who you are. I'm betting that there are many times where at least you think that's who you are. You're wrong. That's what you do, but it's not who you are. If that's who you are, then what about the guy who had that title before you? And what about the person who may have it after you? Can all three of you define who you are? I'm betting the guy before you was probably very different than you are. And I'm betting the person that comes after may be different still. And what about all the other people who have that title or one that's similar? I don't care if the title is chairman or CEO. There are other people who also have that very same title. Very different people too. Men, women, black, white, skinny, fat, bald, hello. Not bald, introverted, extroverted, same title, very different people. So it's not a title. What is it? Now, I'm not going to wax on philosophically about it all, and I don't have the time really or the inclination, much less the skill, to dive into all the nuances of the answer. So I want to focus on just a few things, and again, to provoke more thought. It's about a larger vision. It's about your life's work. It's about how you define yourself. And better yet, it's about how you want to define yourself. You, a business model. This is heart stuff. That means it's head stuff because I'm not talking about that organ in your chest that pumps blood. I'm talking about that organ in your head that determines what you love, what you hate, what you think. The self-improvement industry primarily focuses on one thing, inspiration. Inspiration isn't the same thing as motivation. We still call them motivational speakers, but that's not really what they are. Motivation is the energy you bring with you to do the work, and you either have that or you don't. It comes from inside you. I can't do anything about that. However, I can inspire you because inspiration is an excitement. Or a passion about something. I can elevate that in you. either momentarily or hopefully in ways that linger. You're a leader, and your leadership begins with you. If you can't properly lead yourself, then how can you expect to be as effective as possible in leading others? That's why this stuff is so important. Every leader I know is asking their people to get better, work smarter, work harder, get more done, and a litany of other admonitions summed up in a single word: improve. You want your team to grow and get better. Jack Welch, and you already know that I'm a fan, he would tell employees at General Electric, get better or get beaten. And in some fashion, that's what you're telling your people: get better or get beaten. And so let's pull back now and let's talk about what that voice inside your head, your heart, is telling you. Are you telling yourself to get better? Or are you just preaching to the troops and you're not taking your own advice? Are you working hard to get better? Well, listen, of course you are. I'm here helping you. People disinterested in getting better, people who don't think that they need any improvement, well, they don't hire people like me. The people who really want to reach new levels of achievement and self-awareness, they hire people like me to help them. It's an investment that they're willing, well, or sometimes their company is willing, to make in them. Now, this is where selfishness pays off. You have to benefit. You have to make your life a priority. So let's talk about how to improve you. Warning: this isn't my work. This is your work. You're going to have to do this. I can help, but I can't do it for you. Number one, balance. If your life is totally out of whack, then you're not being transparent, authentic, or passionate. Your health matters. Oh, it's not just weight, although many leaders are faced with a variety of issues related to weight. In fact, last year, I read an interesting article that was entitled, "Want to be a CEO? What's your BMI?" There's a link to that article below. This isn't about whether you're fat or not. I mean, I live in a glass house, so I can't throw rocks. You'd think as often as I work out, I'd be much slimmer, but you would be wrong. It is about how you feel about yourself, though. And yes, it is about your health. The thing that pops out from that Wall Street Journal article is how leaders are affected by their weight. It impacts their self-esteem. It impacts their doubts about, what do other people think when they look at me, when they see me? And that naturally impacts how we see ourselves. Sleep, friends, family, outside of work interests and activities. I mean, these are all important to our well-being, and they all speak to who we really are and how we feel about who we are. There isn't an executive that I have ever met, much less worked with, that did not struggle with life, work, balance kinds of issues. These can be challenging for the most balanced among us. Number two, purpose. Your life consists of a larger vision, a larger purpose. Last year, I did an interview with a woman entrepreneur who serves mostly other women entrepreneurs who want to work from home. Carrie Wilkerson's brand is the Barefoot Executive. Her purpose when she started was clearly defined. She had two small children, babies, with special needs. Her husband worked in Dallas, about an hour away from where they live. They live just west of Fort Worth. And she was a teacher. Well, now she had to stay home with these two little babies and care for them, but the family needed her income. And so she had to find a way to earn some money while staying at home to serve these babies. Serving these children, that was her purpose. It still is a big part of her purpose. Even though the children aren't babies anymore, they still have special needs, and she is determined to continue to fill those needs. Now, contrast that with a person who can't find a purpose other than making money. Well, or that's what they claim. Why do you want to make the money? What are you going to do with the money? It's funny, I can encounter people, especially younger people, and they can say, I want to be a millionaire, or I want to have a net worth of $1 million or $2 million or $3 million by this particular date or this particular age. And it's interesting to me because so frequently when you say, why? What are you going to do with the money? I mean, once you get past fancy cars and bigger houses, most don't have an answer. It's just for them, it just seems to be this barometer of success. I mean, buying another new car, in my estimation, that's a poor purpose. Helping aging parents or young adult children, that's a real purpose. Helping a cause, that's a purpose. I mean, there are as many real purposes as there are people committed to those purposes. So getting real with yourself about your purpose helps you come to grips with who you really are. And it also prevents you from becoming a victim. Carrie Wilkerson could have complained about her lot in life, but she didn't. She and her husband wanted children, but they couldn't have any children, and so they adopted. And when faced with the prospect of adopting two siblings, both of whom suffered various ailments, they said yes. And she chose these children and all that went along with these children. Did that mean she was going to have to sacrifice? Absolutely. Enormous sacrifices. Later on, she would have two children of her own. Funny how that works, isn't it? They got pregnant. And serving her family by contributing to their welfare continues to be her overriding purpose. What's your purpose? Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do so hard? I want to end today's session with one more discussion point, and that's time. Well, it really is time, and it's quiet. Take the time to get real with yourself. Most leaders are running in high gear professionally all the time, and many of them are taxed with a workload that just simply doesn't fit with laying back and taking it easy. In fact, there's a badge of honor that is worn by many leaders, and it goes under the heading of hard charging. I mean, what leader doesn't want hard charging to be an adjective that is ascribed to their work? The downside is that many leaders have never learned the value of taking time to think. Quiet time. We live in a noisy world, and it's growing noisier by the day. You must take time for yourself. You must take time to think and to consider. Pondering time. I once had an old mentor, many years older than me. He's passed on now. But he would call it studying. I've been studying about something. That simply meant he'd been sitting around quietly thinking about it. And another way that he would phrase it is, I've been rolling this over in my mind. Have you ever taken the time to roll something over in your mind? Time to get in touch with who you are, who you want to be, and how you're going to get there. In 2009, Clive Thompson wrote an article in Wired magazine entitled "Clive Thompson on Why Idling Mind is Mother of Invention." There's a link to that below. Do you really need scientific proof? I don't think so. I mean, you've been in the shower and you've experienced an epiphany. Maybe you've been out on a walk. You stared at the window and you had a moment of mental drift. I mean, such times can result in clarity that we would never experience if we did not slow down. You know that. There's value in light activity and quiet time. And I'm urging you to do this intentionally. Don't just wait for it to happen. Make it happen. Gift yourself time to invest in you. A warning. Here's my disclaimer. I'm not encouraging you to bite the hand that feeds you. But here's the truth. Unless you have a guaranteed contract with very gold handcuffs, then this applies to you. Your organization won't take care of you. I could fill a very large conference room with the dozens of people I've known through the years who devoted themselves fully to a purpose and vision not their own, only to find that a security guard escort out of the building was their future. Or that a more honorable, albeit similar, fate was had in being asked to resign so another person could fill their spot. Exits vary, but unless there's a big check that goes along with it, many leaders have confessed to me the pain of feeling betrayed and abandoned. Worse yet, they express regret for neglecting to think about their own lives. They just always assumed that their organization would reciprocate. Don't count on it. And don't take it personally. Business is business, but it's not who you are, and the organization won't meet all of your needs. In fact, it wasn't designed to do that. Jay Leno told 60 Minutes the truth of his world, a world, by the way, with very golden handcuffs. In fact, there's a link to the segment, the 60 Minutes video. Yeah, you might find it interesting, but here's the quote. I always tell new people in show business, I say, look, show business pays you a lot of money because eventually you're going to get screwed. And when you get screwed, you'll have a pile of money off to the side already. Okay, well, don't bank on having a pile of money set aside by your organization. Take care of yourself. Own your life. Be responsible. Be accountable. Jack Welch said, control your own destiny, or somebody else will. We'll talk soon.